ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Clock in Philadelphia and time for the best show ever. Now, your starting lineup. Bring in the heat. Ricky. The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon. Best show ever here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Well, sometimes things happen that amplify your topic. Sometimes it's good news. Unfortunately, today it's bad news. Let's get right to the opening statements. And the word of the day today is prudent. Prudent. And we were going to discuss injuries in sports, and what's the line that you walk between pushing in to try to win games versus keeping your players as healthy as possible. The problem with all of this is, of course, everyone, if you may not be aware yet, but we're all aware, Rhys Hoskins, a very important, obviously, player for the Phillies, a first baseman, goes down with an apparent knee injury. Now, we don't want to overstate because we don't know, and they still have to do an MRI, but this is what we can tell you. It was non-contact, his leg completely collapsed, and they carted him off. Is that fair as far as just the facts that go with what we actually know?
That's fair. Very fair.
Apparent knee, leg went let out, non-contact, and everyone knows that the scariest injuries in all of sports are the non-contact kind. So we'll eventually relate this to James Harden and Bryce Harper and all that. But first, Rhys Hoskins, that's a big loss.
It's a huge loss. And he's a very controversial player because there's some fans that don't like his defense and feel like he doesn't produce as much as he should. He's 30 home runs in your lineup. Yeah. And there's a lot of talent on this team, but it's crushing to not have that right-handed bat in your order.
It's a big number. It's a big number if you're going to lose him for a long period of time, which we're hoping not. We're hoping this is about as minor as it could be. But, I mean, when you look at the injury, it doesn't look great. It's a hole. It's a huge hole. And number one, you already have a hole with Bryce Harper not being in the lineup. Then your big right-handed bat goes down on top of it. It's never a good thing because you're going to replace a Rhys Hoskins with somebody who's less than Rhys Hoskins, obviously. Yep. So, yeah, it's never a good sign. I was just rewatching the play. I'm wondering if there was a noise. And you're probably looking at me like, what do you mean a noise?
No, sometimes
if you look, Bailey Falter right away starts waving to the bench to come out. To me, that's usually you hear something or heard a pop or something.
Now, sometimes I saw a doctor online who did not examine Rhys Hoskins say sometimes a knee like that, it could be some sort of a break in the leg.
Like a bone.
Right. That would make a sound. And he says the trade-off with that is depending on when the break is. Again, we don't know anything. But if it was a break, they say his return this season would be more likely. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if it's an ACL, we know he's not going to be back.
Yeah,
we know he's out. So we don't know what the injury is. We know the leg went out. They say if his leg got stuck in the grass or something like that, sometimes the ligaments go. Sometimes that does cause a bone to break. We do not know. Either way, though, the Phillies yesterday we were talking about with all the good players, how they can win, they can beat anybody. Now, if Rhys Hoskins is out, now I'm more into that third wild card type of mode.
Sure, it changes things. There's no doubt. You mentioned it yesterday. There's times where for 2 weeks, he's the guy that's leading the way.
Yeah.
He's hitting the home runs. He's knocking in everyone. He's hitting 4 home runs in 5 games, and the ballpark is losing its mind. You don't get that if you just throw Boehm over at first and Sosa plays third, or if Derek Hall's in the lineup for a bunch of time and there's a lefty and a righty, what do you do? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Derek Hall can only hit from...
Hit righties.
Yes, he can only hit righties, so it's not the same level of power that you have with Rhys Hoskins. This is really brutal. It really is, and it's starting to settle in as we kind of learn throughout this hour.
And to everybody out there, it's this is not going to be a 5-minute thing, and you're going to know what's wrong with him. And the Phillies did, according to Jason Stark, the Phillies did come out and say that he will undergo further evaluation and testing, and they'll provide an update after that. Yes. So it's not going to be like a 5-minute thing, and we know exactly what's wrong with him at all.
Unavoidable, right. Too. I mean,
you just know. One of those things that happens.
Yeah.
And we could call an expert, but the expert won't give us anything.
Doesn't know.
They don't know yet. So we're just going to have to wait just like everybody else. So 610-632-0975, you want to discuss that today. Now, in a broader scope, in addition to this Rhys Hoskins thing, maybe this puts a different spin on what we were going to talk about anyway. So we have a situation where the Sixers were up by 28.5, and Embiid had a bit of a calf tightness, so they just sat him out, and they say he's going to be back. So it's not really about him. But James Harden's a different situation because Doc Rivers, after the game, would not commit to playing him on Friday. Now, the Sixers have won 9 out of 10 games, and they're tied in the loss column with the Celtics with another game against the Celtics. So the 2 seed is absolutely in play for the Sixers. So you have to put that on the one hand. On the other hand, you have a situation where the Bucks are the 1 seed right now. Giannis today said, I'd rather be the 5 seed and healthy than the 1 seed and unhealthy. That's what Giannis said today. With the backdrop of this Rhys Hoskins thing, the injuries can happen at any time. Sometimes a convenient time, quote unquote. Sometimes a not convenient time. Like for certain football players, they prefer to have it in training camp if you're going to miss a year anyway, if you have guaranteed money, because then you can come back the year kind of fresh and you're healthy. A Super Bowl injury kept Odell Beckham Jr. out the entire year because it didn't heal. So injuries can happen at any time. With this as the backdrop, if you're the Sixers, and Harden has some soreness in the Achilles. This is an example. This is an example of the point. You guys, how do you balance the wanting to win every game and then also balance wanting your players to be as healthy as possible? How do you balance that? And, of course, we get a guy who's possibly out with a major injury today.
I'm not pushing him. I'm with Team Giannis here. There's no way that I'm going to value that number one overall seed compared to James Harden's health. I'd rather be a 3rd seed with giving James some time than 1st seed, and I understand how big home court advantage could be in any of these 7-game series. As great as Joel has been, this team's shot is Joel and James Harden. You remove him from the equation, and I don't feel nearly as good as I would with him on the court.
I'm with you on that. I'd want to go into the playoffs at 100%. If I have guys that are 80%, I'll take the risk of sitting them a couple games, 2-3 games in a row, just to get them into 90-95% range. Because isn't this what it's all about? This is what everybody's been screaming for all year, is the playoffs.
Yeah.
So don't worry about where you sit right now. You're in a good position as it is right now. I think they're in a good enough position.
3 is a good position.
Where they can pull it out. Yes, you have a very good shot to go to 2 if you do beat the Celtics. But think about it this way. Even if you're fully healthy, you lose to the Celtics, that's probably out of the way too.
Yeah. It's tough because this is Philadelphia. And we know how the faux toughness that flows through the blood of many Philadelphians. Okay, whereas you got to go out there and be as tough as possible. Meanwhile, they're saying as they type up the Penske report in a job with a college shirt, like sometimes, but you got to be Rocky. So there's this balance. And maybe in a different city, Ricky, what you said is, I think, 100% accurate. Same with you, Hunter. I think what both of you guys said, completely accurate. But this is Philadelphia. We know how we feel. John Kincaid has had whole weeks of shows about load management being bad and all that kind of stuff. But then when you realize, and it's not that we don't know injuries can happen at any time, the Rhys Hoskins thing happening today, though, kind of is that reminder. You put Harden out there, and that Achilles was the pop. You got no chance.
I agree.
You got no chance at that point. So I want the people out there today, and we'll discuss it. What's the prudent move when it comes to health versus winning?
And I just brought up 90-95% for a reason.
Yeah.
Because I would say with all these starting NBA basketball players, what do you think the percentage is that are playing at 100% right now?
2%.
2%, if that, right?
Yeah.
If that. So
yeah.
That's why I said if you could get them to 90 or 95%, yeah. Because you probably won't get any of your players to 100%.
Right.
But you want them as healthy as possible going into a playoff run. You need them healthy to play 7 games in a shorter period.
You know, it's tough. Now, Jen, You're the one with the most feelings. You can tell we're a little down. We were up, and now we're a little down, pending the Reese Hoskins news. You didn't necessarily grow up here. You've been here a long time, but you didn't grow up here.
Correct.
So maybe you don't have that Rocky blood in your genes. What is your take on the being healthy for the playoffs versus the need to win everything? Because the Sixers could easily get to the 2 seed if they just play everybody out and just get there and be as high seed as possible. Or do you monitor health?
This game, this team is really good. So monitor your health. Make sure you're as healthy as can be to get into the playoffs. So if you need to rest James Harden, then rest James Harden. Everybody else needs to step up, and they step up, and they move on, and everything's good. And I agree. I would rather be the 5th seed and completely healthy than the 1st.
I think it's well put. I think that's well put. Think about this for a second. If you're going for that last spot, everybody's playing right now, regardless of how close they are to an injury. Right. You have to play them all. Right. You're in a good situation. Jen's absolutely right. This is a good basketball team. They put themselves into a good situation where they have a little bit of luxury.
They do.
So use it.
And they fight, and they've been fighting for each other the whole season. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, they definitely go out there and battle for each other. So I can see them stepping up.
They absolutely have. Mm-hmm. So we have that going on. Also, yesterday, Hunter.
I didn't see this coming.
You know, yesterday, you yelled at Ricky.
I did.
Yesterday. And Jen and I thought it was a little bit over the top, wasn't it?
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit over
the
top.
You're mean, man.
All right.
Oh, now, that hurt Ricky's feelings.
Not right. That's what I'm saying. Ricky's still a human.
Aww.
All right? He's still a human. I mean, he bleeds blood.
Okay.
All right? You guys can't fight. I can't have you out here
physically,
fighting.
Physically, yeah.
I can't have you fight. So we're going to settle this like gentlemen. Today is random trivia between Hunter Brody and Ricky Pitalico. In my hand right now.
I think we're screwed.
So screwed.
What I have right here are 170 random trivia questions. Now, we're not going to get to all 170 of them. I wanted to have as many categories as possible. We got science, TV, sports.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
We have everything in this stack of questions.
Can we phone a friend?
I was hoping I could stand in the
back. We can't have Jen as our phone a friend?
I can't help.
You can help each of them once.
Only one time, one question?
We'll play millionaire rules. You can get a 50-50.
Okay.
Where we'll eliminate two answers. Well, no, it's not multiple choice.
How about we do this? I got this. We have three. Let's just say we have three.
Saves.
We have Haley, which you really don't want to. You might want to use it for some younger stuff.
So you get a Haley, a Dylan,
and a Jen.
And a Jen.
How about a caller.
Four different opportunities.
We're not going to answer any questions.
But you're not allowed to use more than one in an hour.
Okay.
All right.
4 hour show, you get four.
Okay. That makes
sense.
Is
that fair?
Yeah.
That is fair.
That's fair.
And
okay?
When are you asking these questions? Just at random throughout the afternoon?
At random. Oh, Booney also. You know what? Haley doesn't stay the whole time.
Right, yeah.
So
I was
Booney.
Say that.
At what time do we go? Could we go to Booney?
We'll go to Booney in the four to five o'clock hours. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
This could be fun. What
So we're going to battle this out and find out for supremacy. Because I don't like the tension between the two of you. So the only way we can settle this, I can't imagine of a different way.
I know one.
Than trivia.
I could stand in the batter's box.
No.
Why not?
That would be fun.
Here's why. The limitations of television.
That's true.
Where would the batter's box
be? Then he'd have to go on the ice, and we get 20 minutes
like
on the ice to try and beat me wide.
See? Maybe we'll turn this into a series.
I would like the ice.
But competition brings people together. So 610-632-0975. The word today is prudent. Are we prudent about being healthy as possible in the backdrop of a Reese Hoskins' unfortunate injury and winning games at the same time? We'll discuss it, and then we're going to have one-on-one trivia. Each question that comes from the category, I won't ask one person a sports and one a science. You'll each get a sports. You'll each get a random, general type thing. This is what we're going to do today, one-on-one with you guys here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Sports Philadelphia. Best show ever, 610-632-0975. Somewhere, Julia Servant's hating on this song, too. You know, that era, I don't know, that I wanted a better song.
He's the get-off-my-lawn guy.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. Ain't no stopping us now, whatever. You don't play the game. I'm Julia Servant. Anyway... Best show ever. Now, we were just about to elaborate more on the whole injury thing and maybe how we look at it, but a little note from Adam Schefter came through during the break.
Yes, it did.
Now, Hunter, what's going on?
Well, he says here that Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott has narrowed down his options about where to play. Jets, Bengals, Eagles. And he would like to make his decision where to sign by the end of the week.
He can't come here.
And then next week. So
you're shutting that out real quick.
He can't come here.
Oh, he is a free agent. He can go.
Guess what?
Free agent.
Yeah, but he can't.
Now, the history.
Oh, he can.
Here's the deal. The history of Dallas players coming here. Not great.
Right.
At the same time.
I'm in.
He would not have to be the main back.
That is true.
He is durable in the red zone.
Also true. He went to Ohio State University.
Well, I tell you what I can't deal with, though.
Here we go.
Do I want an Eagles guy doing that stupid thing?
No.
He gets, because he's going to be part-time player. Gainwell's got to get the ball. You know, Boston Scott gets the ball mixed in. If Penny can stay upright.
Listen to me. I'm in.
Really?
I'm in.
If it's like $3
million. I'm in. I absolutely.
You're in.
I'm in. I mean, look, the way the Cowboys, one, paid him, and two, force-fed him into a certain role, that's not what would happen here. And keep in mind, with this offensive line, they had a good line in Dallas.
This is a better one, though.
Better, and with the ability of what Jalen Hurts can do. I mean, come on. I'm in.
So, in Jen, your gut was out.
My gut was out.
Okay, that's fine. Ricky?
I'm in.
Yes.
Wow.
I'm in for a little different reason.
All right.
He may have this hunger about it. I know he does this stupid thing with the spoon. I don't like that either. But maybe he has a little revenge on his mind.
Maybe. That's true.
Stick it to the cowboy revenge.
It seems like the consensus on social media is I want nothing to do with this.
Yeah. Right. Can he come here and play a backseat role?
Well, I think he recognizes.
He was a backup last year.
He's not going to be the main back with any of these teams.
And you think he gets it?
I think. He wasn't even the main back with Dallas last year. Like, he really wasn't, but he was making the main money. Yeah, Pollard was the guy. Yeah. So, all right, 610-632-0975. I did not expect this new. I didn't think. He wasn't even on my radar.
Time out. We all gave our thoughts.
Yeah.
You in or out?
Are you trying to dodge?
We can't squeeze by over here.
You know what? I'm out.
You're out. Is it because of play or because of, you know, the history of Cowboys?
It's the history.
Play? Okay, so it's not
the
play.
History.
Now, let me ask you something. He's throwing out the three teams. Is he begging for a job or has he been offered?
I don't think it's offered, but my guess is Holly told his agent.
Okay.
It's the right price.
Yeah, so there's something there, yeah.
My guess is these are the teams. One, he's not going to go to a bad team. So if you notice, the Jets with Rodgers are a play. First of all, they were almost a playoff team with no quarterback. With Aaron Rodgers, the Jets are a playoff team. The Bengals are a Super Bowl contender, and maybe he thinks the Jets could be with Rodgers. And the Eagles are obviously a Super Bowl contender with the best quarterback in the conference. And an offense that's built to create holes for running backs. So if he thinks he can get another contract, if he's going to take a one-year deal, the best place for him to come is here, behind this offensive line with this running quarterback, average 6 yards a carry in part-time duty, then go back on the market and maybe somebody gives you a 2 or 3 year deal with $8 million guaranteed or something like
that. That's what I'm saying. And part revenge.
Don't DeMarco marry me. I'm in.
So he's going minimum money. I can't go minimum. But if Booney mentioned it, he says the four running backs signed with new teams this year, their AAV average has been $3.5 million. So if you're paying him $3.5 million, I will say I'm out, but. The but is. There's no one-year, $3 million mistakes in sports.
Exactly.
Now, if it doesn't work out,
Bye. See you later.
Like, there's no such thing as, like, a bad one-year deal. And if that's all he's getting, and one thing I do know about him, though, around that red zone, he's very good getting into the end zone.
You know
he's
who
a
else
good
is?
Red zone back.
You know who else is?
Well, Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So I'm saying, you have a situation where you, if you're worried at all about the red zone, between him and Hurts, you're getting a lot of touchdowns in that red zone when you get close. You're scoring. In between the 20s, I don't know about how much I'm using, but definitely as a bigger back in certain spots. And you know what? He's not horrible at catching the ball out of the backfield. He's not horrible.
No, he's not.
Not horrible at it. He's much better at it than Miles Sanders was. I don't know how much they used him, but he has natural, more soft hands than a Miles Sanders.
I got a lot of thoughts going on in my head right now, and I love it.
I don't know how to feel about this.
Yeah, I'm uncomfortable that I feel this way.
All right, one trivia question, then we're going to talk to Albert and Mike.
Okay.
All right, the category this time is TV.
All righty.
TV. All right. Which of the six main characters on the TV show Friends never got married?
It was...
It's only one.
Joey.
Joey is correct.
Yes. For a second, I was thinking Phoebe, but then...
Phoebe got married.
Yeah, Phoebe went first in my head, yeah. And then I'm like, no, she got married.
Yep.
Ross was married a bunch of times.
Yeah, yes, he was. Right,
including to Rachel.
Yeah.
All right. What popular 90s TV show, Ricky, did actress or actor Calista Flockhart star in?
Ellie McBeal.
That is correct.
It's a good round for us.
Good round. Very decisive, good answers there from both of you.
That's right.
It is 8-4, however, in Hunter's favor.
But
he's got some saves that he can
just
use.
Yes,
he's got saves.
Yeah.
You haven't been using all your saves. When you don't
I used one with Jen and she flopped.
Right, but... You are too stubborn. When you don't know, you get frustrated. Yeah. And rather than ask, you bear down. That's probably a piece of your personality.
I don't like giving away anything.
I'm okay with giving away my soul for the win.
I would take the loss. I'd rather take the loss.
And guess what? That Wawa is going to taste great.
I'd buy it myself anyway, so what's the difference?
They are facing off.
It's the principle that you then have to give him the gift cards. That's right. It.
That's what
it
is.
Doesn't matter.
You know what, Jen? That doesn't. But the $25 has nothing.
It has nothing to do with the
Ricky
money.
Just doesn't
that's
want to
it.
Lose.
Right.
He just
what if I
lose.
Bought a bunch of soup and just poured it out in front of him? Didn't need
the
it.
Corn
oh my God,
chowder.
Just wasted it.
The corn chowder. It's his favorite.
Come on.
I would get call. A I would Coke call Zeros. A food bank around here, and then you'd be in big trouble.
That's what we do. We're going to call a food bank. It'd be in big trouble.
All right.
That's right.
Yeah, we can't be wasting food, especially the Wawa soup. They'll be pissed.
Yeah. All right, let's go.
Wawa soup is way too good.
You'll be pissed. That's really what it comes down to.
Oh, especially if it's the corn chowder.
That's your favorite
I may just
what
eat it off the floor.
He's in there. He's sucking it up. Off the top.
Yep.
The top
skim the top.
Yeah, just skim the top layer. I'm right there with it.
If I win by 10, if this option's on the table, if I win by 10.
You're not going to win by 10. I don't think, but I don't know. Maybe you will.
I don't think there's. I can't say that. I was going to say something.
All right. Oh, boy.
Basically, I was saying there you would never drop the soup on the carpet.
But what about in the sink in the lactation room?
I won't go in there.
You put her in there. Albert in Quakertown.
I'm going to pour this soup out.
As we come back to the foes. Albert in Quakertown, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Hello, Albert.
Hey, everybody. Enjoying the show today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I heard you talking about the walking through a drive-thru. And I have a quick story. I work for a large utility company, so I have a big truck. Mm-hmm. So we're up in Allentown working one day, and I see a KFC. And I'm like, man, I got to have that. Pulling the KFC with my truck. I go to the door, and it was just after COVID, so the door was locked. So my only choice, I had to walk through the drive-thru because my truck was too big. I order. And the girl goes, sorry, sir, we cannot accept anyone who's coming on foot.
I thought that was the case.
I said, but I have a big truck. She goes, no, I'm sorry. So now I'm dejected. I'm walking back to my truck, getting in the truck, and this car pulls up next to me. And a girl taps her horn. I look over. It was the car that was behind me as I was standing there. The girl rolls her window down. Middle-aged, like Hispanic girl, but she had tattoos all over her face and her neck. And she's like, "Hey, get in the car." And I'm like, "Excuse me? She can't get in the car. I saw what happened. I'll take you back through the drive-thru." But I'm just a little bit nervous because of all the tattoos and everything.
Forget about COVID.
And COVID, but she was pretty darn attractive. The hell with it.
Oh, because she's hot. You said screw it.
So yes. She was ugly. You're out because she's pretty. You're right in there. Like, all right, she's looking good. Albert.
So you got your chicken.
I got the chicken. Well, we pull around to the window and, I got a girl's like, "Give me your Mac card or ATM." I give her the card and
Mac card. I love it.
I know. And she took the card and I got my food and went back to my truck. And I was like, wow, that was a nice thing for her.
She didn't
to
join
do.
You?
Yeah, did you guys have a nice little meal?
A nice little dinner.
Yeah. Little milkshake.
And you never saw her again.
No.
It'd been a long lost love. Well, you know what, Albert? That's pretty cool. Thanks for the call. I could have been in love. You never know.
She could have been the one.
Now, I know you're taken. Hunter.
I am.
Married man.
She's love my wife.
Love her. She's small but mighty. Great.
Small and mighty. Love her.
Okay. Let's give a scenario in which you were single.
Okay.
You're a tattoosman yourself.
Yes, I am.
Let's say you met a young lady who, let's take away the face, but let's say the neck tattoo, she had tattoos. She has a job where she's not like, she's able to make money. So she doesn't have them and it precludes her from making a living.
Sure.
Would that be a plus or a minus for you? Or would it be a minus is more what I'm asking.
Definitely not a minus.
Not a minus. No. You wouldn't hold that against
her. No, definitely not.
Like she had like a neck piece.
Yeah,
and sleeves or whatever.
I'm cool with that.
You'd be cool with it.
Yeah.
Now, Ricky, what about you?
I don't think it would bother me. I think I would rather know the person first to have a judgment on them rather than judge them on some ink on them.
Sure, it gets a little,
sleeve.
It does get a little aggressive whether you admit it or not. It's just reality.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying.
Yeah, I never really thought of it.
Doesn't mean that they're bad people. Matter of fact, like I have as many tattoos as you, but I have a decent amount of tattoos.
Yeah, definitely.
The tattoo people are generally kind and they're just artists that chose that medium.
I've dated some with tattoos.
I'm just asking that. Now,
what's that side smirk? What's that side smirk? What's some?
Yeah,
Five, six, seven, eight?
Just well-placed.
Well-placed tattoos.
Well, we know where that is.
All right.
Your turn, Jay.
Yeah. What do you got?
A neck tattoo. Otherwise, listen, whatever he does, I don't know his job, but he has a job. So it's not like these neck tattoos are precluding him from making a living.
Right.
Full sleeves or whatever, would the tattoos on their own be a turnoff?
No.
Okay. Because for some, like Hunter mentioned, it is.
Yeah. For some, it definitely is.
Oh,
yeah.
Sure.
People probably look at me and think I'm nuts. Well, then you meet me and you realize it's true, but it's not because of the tattoos.
Right. Yeah. I feel like that's probably the way it goes most of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it wouldn't bother me.
I love how he threw that in the story, though, because we kind of knew where this was going, but the details of... the woman, but...
And face tattoos are a little...
Oh, yeah.
They are a little off-putting
sometimes. I think he was just trying to give us a picture of her.
Yeah.
Would you ever do that for someone? Invite them to your car to drive them through the drive-thru?
I would never let them get in my car.
No, me
I would either. Say, what's your order? I'll just order it for you, and then I'll drive back over and hand you your food. I would never let somebody else get in my car.
Yeah, that's what
especially if I'm a young female and let an older male get in the way.
If I had cash, I'm not giving anybody my car and they get in the car.
No.
But I would have said, hey, here's $20.
Yeah.
Could you please, I'll let you keep the rest. Could you grab my McDonald's for me?
Yeah, that's what I would do. But
after that amount, I'm not giving you money. The extra.
What do you mean?
20 is the most.
For a McDonald's order?
Yeah, what I'm saying is if I bought a $10 meal. $8 meal, whatever it is.
You're giving them the 20.
I'm giving them a 20. I'm not giving them 50.
No. I think 20's fair game.
Yeah.
20, you keep the change.
Yeah, thanks for what you did.
No, that's really nice.
That's
that's very generous, giving them 20.
They saved me.
Right, yeah, but I think that's very generous. Damn. Right. I do have confirmation that McDonald's does have a basket of fries on their secret menu.
They do.
I've seen it.
See, I'll have to share those, though. You can't eat a basket of fries before they get cold.
But maybe it's the size that the supersize was.
Oh, I have to see the size.
They should just put them in their small bags.
It's not like a large popcorn at the movie theater. I don't. I don't think it's that big.
Okay.
I think it's edible by a normal human.
Basket of McDonald's fries.
I'm trying to do this weekend.
There you go.
If I can, I need to get like 4 miles.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm building up to the 10 up the Broad Street. Right now, if I get to 4, I probably need to do a little more. If I do 4 plus weights.
Okay.
Yeah,
then you can reward yourself.
Yeah, I got to do, got to work on it.
I'm excited for you.
All right. I hope to find it at my local McDonald's.
So apparently a basket of McDonald's comes in like a little fish and chips holder thing.
Right. That guy who you're supposed to get a special bucket of nuggets, they were mad at him. That's why they just put him in a bag. He was supposed to get a special bucket, and they didn't. All right, back to the phones. Mike in Westchester. I wonder what he's voting on with the no, no, no. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Mike?
No.
Why?
No what?
I will burn my season tickets or go 0-17 before I have that spoon-licking cowgirl on my team.
Oh, man, with the gender thing. Now, come on. If it's a one-year deal, $3.5 million, and he's going to help you in the red zone because you don't have faith in Penny's health. What can it hurt?
We got Boston Scott. He can do it too.
Well, I don't have a problem. I like Boston Scott as a player.
So do I.
But what happens if you go in with Penny, Gainwell, Scott, and what happens if Penny misses 8 games or 9 games or 10 games? He gets hurt a lot.
There's this little thing called undrafted free agents. You can go get a tank from anywhere to go load it into the end zone.
But this guy's a proven guy, though.
Yeah, like he had almost 900 yards last year in rushing, and Boston's got a 215.
Right, what's his career high in rushing touchdown?
Zeke?
Yeah.
15.
15, that's what I'm saying. This is a guy who knows how to find that end zone. That's not, I don't want to dismiss that completely.
No.
You're just dead set against it. Okay.
Cowgirl.
Okay, let me give an example then.
You got to remove that.
Let's say there was a scenario in which Jalen Hurts hypothetically got hurt, which we don't want, and Dak Prescott was the best quarterback available. Would you sign him to help your team, or you're just saying no Cowboys, period?
No, I wouldn't say that, but how many times has Zeke sat there and thinking of the right word, like teased us with that damn spoon thing.
I hate the spoon
thing.
It's
not just the Eagles he does it to.
Right, he was doing that when they won the national championship at Ohio State.
You think Cowboys fans are upset that Jason Peters was playing left tackle at one point or left guard, whatever he ended up playing over there?
He played a couple games for him.
Games,
just want him to help. Like,
oh, hold on. Oh, my hamstring, Peters? Come on. After he was done,
oh, my goodness.
You're on the record. I appreciate the call, Mike. He's on the record.
It's the same flip-flop. It's just different teams. I mean,
right.
He said at first, no cowgirls. You bring up a scenario, he's like, oh, well, it's different. Why is it different?
It's not different. You just don't like them.
Yeah,
by the way, I don't blame you.
Trust me.
I hate that
here you go. CeeDee Lamb. We don't want him.
Yeah, yeah. If you can, let's say he plays out of the slot. Let's say you can add CeeDee Lamb to play be your slot guy instead of Quest. You're not going to take him because he's a Cowboy.
I'll take him in a heartbeat.
I think we look past certain things.
He's 27. He's not 34.
Right. He probably has enough to still help a team in a rotation.
And there has to be a desire right now. He's made a ton of money.
Right.
There has to be a desire to do something. He wants another contract. So you're going to see him put up and be, you know, a perfect citizen in that sense.
Right.
Because they're looking for a new contract.
These are easy trivia sports. Right now, and this is the easiest two of the day. Hunter, what type of race is the Tour de France?
Bicycle.
That is correct.
Cycling, I guess I should say.
Yeah, that's right. Bicycle race is
fine.
That's
a bicycle.
Cycling.
How often, Ricky, are the Summer Olympic Games held?
Every 4 years.
That is also correct. I will tell you in the 4 o'clock hour after we talk to Paul Hudrick from Liberty Ballers, the questions will get much more difficult. So I gave each of you an easy one. 4 through 6 o'clock, the questions will be harder here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
From Liberty Ballers on the Comcast Business Hotline. How are you today, Paul?
I'm doing great, Tyrone. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks so much for the time. So there's this line that we've been talking about all day today, Paul, where you want to win games, obviously. You want the best seed possible. But at the same time, you want your players to be as healthy as possible going into the playoffs. Now, Doc Rivers said yesterday that Joel Embiid will play on Friday. Let's assume he's right on that one. But he would not commit to James Harden playing on Friday. If you were Doc Rivers, Paul, how would you handle this James Harden sore Achilles the rest of the way?
Oh, man. he gets paid a lot more money than I do, so there's a reason why that is, because he has to make decisions like that. But, no, I'm sure it's going to be a group decision. I'm sure it's going to be, you know, with James, with the medical staff, with Doc, with even the front office. I'm sure everyone's going to have a say kind of in that decision and what goes on. And you're right. It's such a difficult kind of wire act they have to pull here, because, listen, the 2 seed is up for grabs. It's right there. And even the 1 seed, you know, it's very difficult, but it's not impossible that they could even go after that. But, you know, having the 1 or the 2 seed means nothing if you don't have a fully healthy James Harden and a fully healthy Joel Embiid, right? And just having that home court, having those advantages really doesn't mean much. So it's a tight rope act they're going to have to walk. The schedule is still really, really difficult. It was difficult to start out of the break. It doesn't really get much easier when you're talking about this three-game West Coast stint here. They still have the Bucks and the Celtics on the ledger. So, yeah, it's just going to be, to me, the health is the most paramount, though, right? Like, if James Harden, if the rest is going to benefit him more than playing, like, you have to do it. And quite frankly, the other end against the Bulls, he did not look right. He was really deferential, which was really concerning, because he hasn't done that this year after he did it pretty often last year. So, yeah, I mean, to me, the health is what comes first, because if you don't have those two guys, nothing else really matters.
What did you make of the Joel Embiid situation last night?
Well, you know, covering the Sixers for as long as I've had, I've never encountered a weird injury thing before ever with this team. No,
that's right.
Yeah, it was weird. It was a weird situation where, you know, he doesn't come out at halftime. He's not on the bench, and we get no update whatsoever. Then you see DeMar DeRozan leave the game. The Bulls PR had that update out within like a minute of DeMar DeRozan going back to the locker room. So it was troubling. And then, you know, to hear the report of really no injury and then get an injury report with like a minute left in the game, it was really odd. It was a really odd situation. And, you know, I'll say this. I get it from the Sixers standpoint of this. I believe they were trying to downplay it because they do not view it as serious. And that's why they wanted to get out there that, listen, you know, we believe he will be available on Friday, and it was precautionary. So, I mean, would it have been better for them to just come out and say at the beginning of the third quarter, you know, Joel Embiid, unlikely to return, he's dealing with some calf tightness, and as a precaution, we are not playing him? Yeah, that's probably the better way they could have played it. But I don't know what was going on behind the scenes. Maybe Joel was really hoping, you know, he could get a massage or whatever and just work it out and then come back for the second half, and that didn't happen. But in any case, yeah, it was really bizarre the way it all went down. But, you know, hopefully for their sake and for Joel Embiid's sake, you know, it's accurate and that he will be on the court Friday and that this is just a minor calf issue.
Yeah, the Sixers are 23-12 on the road, NBA's best record. I mean, how are they doing this on the road? Because I look at the schedule, and I mean, their last road trip, you're thinking to yourself, well, if they come back under or 500, you're pretty happy, or a game over 500. And now all of a sudden they got another tough road trip in front of them. They start off in Chicago with a big win.
Yeah, it's you know, when Doc Rivers first arrived here, if you recall, I mean, they had literally, it's kind of like what the Warriors are now, where they are terrific at home and they are flat out bad on the road. Before Doc Rivers got here, that was a deal. And I know that was a big emphasis of his when he first got here, was to change kind of that mindset, you know, of when we're on the road, you know, we still need to be at our best. And also, you know, when we don't have a Joel Embiid playing, we still need to play this game to win. Like, we can't put our heads down just because, you know, this guy isn't playing or that guy isn't playing. we need to play through these things. We need to fight through them. And I think this year, too, this is kind of the unseen impact, I think, of a guy like a PJ Tucker. He's just going to hold guys accountable. He's not going to let guys take nights off. He's not going to let guys, you know, be mopey if James Harden is hurt or if Joel Embiid is hurt. He's going to make sure that everyone's still doing their job. And I think that's a pretty big part of his role. Then the other thing I'd say is just depth. You know, having a D'Anthony Melton who has been a godsend to this team this year and, you know, has really picked it up after a little low. He's been awesome lately. And just, you know, you go up and down the roster, you know, Daniel House Jr., who they signed in the offseason hoping he would have a bigger role. You know, he struggled coming out of the gate this year, but he's been pretty effective in the minutes they've given him over the last couple weeks. So I think just having that veteran leadership and guys who aren't afraid to hold guys accountable, and then just the depth, you know, that when guys are down, there is that next man up mentality. We know we hear that cliche all the time, but it's been true with this team, and other guys have stepped up when that's happened.
We're speaking with Paul Hudrick, covers the Sixers for Liberty Ballers. Paul, one guy who looks better than he has all year long on a positive note is PJ Tucker. Is this an example of him pacing himself throughout the year? But he seems like he's moving better. He's actually making shots. What has PJ Tucker done all of a sudden to look like he had a little bit of a fountain of youth?
Yeah, definitely health. I think health is huge here. You know, he's been dealing with nagging stuff, I think, like all year long. The most recent thing was an ankle where he missed two games. And then, yeah, he was really good last night. Maybe kind of the unsung hero. You know, they won. There was a blowout, so it's hard to call a guy an unsung hero. But, you know, he was a big reason why that got off to a big start, because he was everywhere, you know, getting loose balls, playing great defense. You know, I think there's something to be said for a guy who just is always in the right spot, if that makes sense. Just a guy who always knows where he's supposed to be, and you know, that's not always the case with every player in the league. So I think health is definitely a huge part of it. But yeah, I don't think you're off base by saying the pacing part either. Like, this is, and I think I've been on here and said this multiple times, PJ Tucker is not a guy you bring on to help you win regular season basketball games. He's a guy to help you win playoff games and big games. And I think you've seen, you know, whether it was, you know, the Boston game coming out of the break where that, I thought that was his best game as a Sixer, whether it was in Cleveland a couple weeks ago where I thought he was outstanding. Like, he is a guy that when the lights are bright, when the games matter, you know, that's where he looks his best, and he plays that complementary role to perfection. You know, the corner three is his office. That's the shot he's going to take and make. But you see, too, like the connective passing, you know, the screen setting, the offensive rebounds, defensively, you know, from a on-ball standpoint, from a team standpoint, he just is just a classic role player. And he fits perfectly on a team where you already have the stars. He just knows his role and stars in it.
There's a lot of fear with Boston. How do you see this team with Joel and James Harden healthy playing this well? How do you view that matchup now?
I'll say this, Rhodes. Before the game, before the All-Star break, I would told you that I you know, the Celtics would have just taken care of the Sixers pretty easily. But, man, the Sixers have really come on. It's been really impressive. And as they've come on, Boston has slipped a little bit. And, you know, we talk about injuries. They haven't been the most healthy team either. Robert Williams has been out of the lineup. He's such a big part of what they do defensively and why they're so good and switchable and disruptive on that end of the floor. Same with Marcus Smart, you know, reigning defensive player of the year. A great defensive player, has been really banged up this year. Al Horford's been banged up at times. You know, Jason Tatum has played every game, but you can see the wear and tear maybe starting to catch up to him a little bit as the season kind of winds down. So that's what to say. If I'm sitting here right now today, I still think Boston is perhaps the better and deeper team. But I think the Sixers, if that matchup happens in the second round, they have a much better shot than I would have said, you know, maybe a month ago. Like they especially after that home game where the Sixers starters, quite frankly, took it to Boston starters. It was the bench really that made the big difference. And as you get to the playoffs, those rotations start to shrink a little bit. So I would be really intrigued to see how Boston would handle Joel Embiid over the course of a 7-game series and, you know, how the depth, how that, what kind of difference that makes for Boston when you're talking about the postseason.
All right. Your assessment of Doc Rivers' season thus far?
Oh, man. I would say he has been not nearly as bad as some people like to make it out to be, but at the same time, I get the concerns. You know, playing Montrezl Harrell for as long as he did and kind of riding him as a backup center for the, you know, the first whatever third of the season, I think that was a mistake. And I think most people would have said, like, that's not a hindsight thing. I think most people would have believed that that was a mistake from the beginning. So I think that's one of his bigger kind of short-sightedness is when we're talking about young players. I think Paul Reed has proven that he deserved those minutes all along, and he is a better option from that standpoint. But I think Doc gets credit for, you know, the one big thing I think he gets credit for that maybe he doesn't get enough, you know, from the average fan base is when he put Joel Embiid at the nail and at the elbow area and how much he thought that would help Joel see double teams better, deal with double teams better, and we've seen what it's done. He's become a perennial MVP candidate, the MVP favorite as we sit here right now, and that's a credit to Doc Rivers for seeing that and finding that, and a credit, of course, to Joel for, you know, really flourishing in that role and embracing it and learning and becoming better at it. So I would say, again, not nearly as bad as the fan base would perhaps make it out to be, but I do, there are occasions where Doc Rivers will make rotational decisions that still make me scratch my head a little bit. And even sometimes offensively, you know, sometimes the ball can get stagnant and you wonder how much that's execution. You wonder how much that is lack of creativity on offense too. So, that's probably where I'd leave it. Not as bad as some of the fan base thinks it is, but I get some of the criticism at the same time.
Well, Paul, really appreciate the time. You do a fantastic job. You know you've been doing a great job for many years, so we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Sounds good, Tyrone. Anytime, man.
All right. That was Paul Hudrick on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.